coming up.
Alive with stories.
Alive.
Yes, and maybe even a wagging finger as well, perhaps.
We like a wagging finger.
Is it a fish finger?
I think you call them fish sticks.
How do you say that?
Atmospheric juice to be squeezed out of it.
Atmospheric juice. I love that. Absolutely.
It's the buyer that usually throws the monkey wrench in.
And then it depends on what the director's looking for, doesn't it?
Where did you find that exciting question?
Bizarre, awkward, strange, and cringy.
Basically my career, that, J. Michael. What are you talking about?
I've forgotten all about that one. Wow, okay.
It's not like you invented the language or anything.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That? Sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Here is Mark Rice, my co-host.
Hello, and that's Sam Boffin over there, my co-host.
Hello. So every week we ask the question, how do you say that? And we invite a special guest to help us answer it.
Indeed, we start with a very simple idea, reading some scripts out loud, because there isn't just one way to read a script, there are lots and lots of different ways. So Sam, a bit of true or false before we begin.
Yep.
I don't like fish fingers. True or false?
Wow, that's where did you find that exciting question? I don't like fish fingers. I reckon you do like fish fingers. I think it's false.
It is false. I love fish fingers, and especially oh my a fish God. Finger sandwich.
Okay. So I have been on stage with Frank Sinatra. Is that true or false?
Oh, God, I hope it's true. Your dad was very in the media, so I think that that is a distinct possibility. Maybe you a little. I'm going to go true.
It is true, but not for the reasons you think.
Oh, okay.
In that I remember it was one of the last tours he did in England, and he was at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
And I was a very poor student at the time, and all I could afford were the orchestra seats.
Oh, right.
Or the choir seats, actually.
Amazing.
That were on stage.
Wow.
And I was literally touching distance away from Frank Sinatra, which was really exciting. Although you did see the auto cue. That was the only downer. But he did turn round a lot, and he really kind of included us. It was the most exciting concert I've ever been to.
That sounds amazing. Well, of course, we also have our very special guest with us, voice actor, demo producer, and voice coach, the one and only J. Michael Collins. Hi, J. Michael. How are you?
Well, hello. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, it's taken this long to get you on, so I'm really excited about this. Sam, for the people that don't know, let's find out a little bit more about J. Michael.
Absolutely. So with over 25 years as a professional voice actor, J. Michael Collins has worked with some of the biggest companies, brands, sports leagues, and organizations on the planet. He also is a leading authority in the online casting space and is a voice coach and demo producer.
Well, J. Michael's won more than 50 industry awards, and along with his wife and business partner, Anna, J. Michael is the producer of VO Atlanta, the industry's largest and longest running conference. He's also the co-producer of One Voice Conference USA, and he hosts voice actor retreats each year at luxurious venues in Europe. So welcome along, J. Michael. Have you got a fun fact for us?
Well, the first fun fact, and it just occurred to me as you were speaking, is that I've never seen a fish with fingers. But
I think you call them fish sticks.
Maybe around Chernobyl you'll find a few of them. But my fun fact, one of my hobbies is I have read every edition of the New York Times from January 1st, 1930. I am now in January of 1935, watching that period of history unfold almost as if it were in real time, which gives you a remarkable perspective on all of the what it would have, could have, and should haves that you don't necessarily get taught in school.
Totally. What an amazing historical thought. Yeah.
What made you think of doing that?
I mean, well, I started, it's been some years, I started when the world was a little more boring than it is now. To me, it's a fascinating way to learn about a period that is obviously so crucial to the way the world developed over the years, and to see it in a manner that is contemporaneous to the people who were experiencing it at that time. And it just became a bit of a passion of mine. And so it's still, most nights, that's what I'm reading to fall asleep, is the New York Times from 1935.
Wow. Well, with that page turner, let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Now, Sam, what have you brought for us to play with this week?
Well, it's kind of an advertisement, but it's more like a corporate video, really, for a secret venue in London.
like a theatrical venue.
Yes, it does also. It's underground and it hosts all kinds of different things. So it's got a bit of a rebellious streak to it.
Ah.
Yeah.
And a theatrical streak?
And a theatrical streak.
Within the
yes.
Reed?
However you like, actually.
Sam never gives us much direction to go on before we do it. J. Michael is like, oh, okay. Ooh, well, I've got an idea.
Okay.
Tempted
good.
Just
I'm
to
glad.
Go for it. All right, I'll go for it first then. All right.
Okay.
Step into stories that unfold around you in a venue that defies the ordinary. No velvet curtains, no fourth wall, a hidden home of theatre, art, and rebellion. From underground parties and pop-ups to graffiti tours and private events, this is a canvas for the unexpected. You won't find it unless you're looking for it. But once you do, you'll never forget it. The crypt hidden beneath, alive with stories.
Ooh.
Very nice.
What did you think, J. Michael?
Very nice, very nice. Definitely brought it alive. And a lot of different notes in there from top to bottom. It took us on a little tour of the theater.
I tried not to keep it all at one level, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very good.
Always important.
I suppose for me, because it's underground and secret, there could have probably, I'm always really hard on you, Mark.
I know.
There could have probably been more of an atmosphere that you could have
built.
Maybe.
Fair.
Because it was big on the promotional side in terms of, you know, saying this is what it is.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there is more atmospheric juice to be squeezed out of it.
Atmospheric juice. I love that. Absolutely.
Actually, it sounds disgusting.
Do you reckon you'll get some atmospheric juice out of it?
I can try a little atmospheric juice. Let's see what flavor it is. All right. So I'll keep Mark's read in the back of my head and give it my own spin. So here we go. Step into stories that unfold around you in a venue that defies the ordinary. No velvet curtains, no fourth wall. A hidden home of theater, art, and rebellion. From underground parties and pop-ups to graffiti tours and private events, this is a canvas for the unexpected. You won't find it unless you're looking for it, but once you do, you'll never forget it. The crypt, hidden beneath, alive with stories.
Oh, I like that. That was much more restrained than I had imagined you were going to do. You pulled right back on that, J. Michael.
I think the mist, it speaks to me of mystery, and that's the vibe I was going for.
And you got that vibe. Yeah, very much.
I think you're right. It had that sort of secret, you won't quite believe this is here feel to it. Because when I got it, I sort of thought of 1920s, you know, kind of jazz prohibition type thing. And I loved that understated feel to it, actually. It felt like, you were really teeing it up.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes. Are you going to say that they wanted something completely off the wall then?
I don't think they did want something off the wall. And in fact, interestingly, I was quite surprised that I was the voice for this in many ways, because I would have thought they'd want a quirkier voice.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like the MC from Cabaret. That's what I kind of imagine the whole thing to be. But I gave it my best atmospheric feel. And they obviously wanted me for whatever their reasons were. So I am not to question that.
Well, indeed, if they're paying the money, that's the point.
There's a temptation to do the last line as a movie trailer. The crypt, hidden beneath, alive with stories.
Alive.
This summer.
So true.
And it equally would work that way.
Right?
It would. But absolutely.
Hold on to your hat, J. Michael. The wild card is still to come. You never know.
That is true.
Right, Sam, show us what you did.
Step into stories that unfold around you in a venue that defies the ordinary. No velvet curtains, no fourth wall, a hidden home of theatre, art, and rebellion. From underground parties and pop-ups to graffiti tours and private events, this is a canvas for the unexpected. You won't find it unless you're looking for it. But once you do, You'll never forget it. The Crypt, hidden beneath, alive with stories.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was very cheeky. You won't find it until you're looking for it. I thought that was lovely.
A raised eyebrow.
Totally that. Yes, and maybe even a wagging finger as well, perhaps.
Oh, we like a wagging finger.
We do. We do indeed.
Is it a fish finger?
Is it a fish finger? Yeah.
Yeah. I think yes.
I thought you might go harder with the end line, but you pulled that right back as well.
Yeah. It was. Well, of course, I have the benefit of knowing what was going on underneath it. And although it had a lot of really exciting and interesting visuals, it was a drum through most of it and a sort of misty sort of atmosphere that kind of dissipated at the end. So it needed that sort of mystery rather than big finish, as it were.
It's hard not to just fall into a trance with her sound, because it's such a lovely voice.
Oh,
to begin
not
with.
Another guest that says that. They all say that. Oh, dear me.
She's one of those that I imagine from a director's perspective, it's you get the talent who are a challenge because they sound so lovely that you just want to like everything that they do, and you need to look a little deeper and say, okay, wait a moment. But no, very good read, and if that was the spec, I certainly see how it worked.
You're right, though. Interestingly, there is that kind of certainly if I'm doing character roles, mm-hmm. I often get quite hard characters actually, so I can't use that kind of soft that sort of soft voice that I often use on this kind of thing. I have to use something
voice.
An awful lot harder.
Yeah,
it's important that you don't sort of get trapped into one delivery, I guess. Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. We've all got things in our toolbox that you go, oh, I can pull that one out, I can pull that one out, I can pull that one out. And then it depends on what the director's looking for, doesn't it?
Yeah. And my favorite thing, or perhaps least favorite thing in voiceover, is that I always tell talent that, you know, you have essentially three dragons that you have to get through to get the job. And you have to get through your agent, you have to get through the casting director, and then you have to get through the buyer. And the agent and the casting director are usually fairly predictable. It's the buyer that usually throws the monkey wrench in, and then you know, everything you've done up to that point, they go, that's great. Well, let's just try something different.
Yeah.
Oh, so God, and true. Haven't we all been in sessions like that? And they normally do it right at the last minute as well, changing on the fly.
But it's also actually why we often audition for things and then we don't hear. And we just assume if we don't hear, it went to somebody else. And then 6 weeks later, after it's gone through a variety of different people and wheeled its way back round, you know, you get the call and say, oh, actually, you got that. I've forgotten all about that one. Wow, okay. So there's obviously, you know, great sort of loads of tiers of people to get through.
Well, it's worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we're working on, but we've changed some names and details to avoid copyright issues. And while we're on the subject of scripts, you can find both of the scripts we're using in the show notes of today's episode.
We can indeed. So, J. Michael, tell us a bit about your script.
Yeah, it looks good.
So my script is a little bit more of a playful advertisement for Mike's Amazing, which is a condiment brand in the United States, brings into play on camera with us, you have Jason Alexander, the actor from Seinfeld.
Yes, in case people can't picture Jason Alexander, he played George,
the
one that was balding and moaning a lot.
Yeah, the one who's a shorter version of me. So this is a little bit more humor based, and it's very much in line with where humor lives in commercial in the United States, in that it's quirky and awkward. And one of the interesting things that we saw in the American market is during the pandemic, quirky had been popular with humor for many years, but it was quirky, light, bright, cute, and playful. And during the pandemic, it switched almost instantly to quirky, bizarre, awkward, strange, and cringy. And it hasn't moved away from that.
Basically, my career,
right?
J. Michael, what are you talking about?
Well, I always joke that the reason they did that was the companies still wanted you to laugh, but they didn't want you to believe that they were having a better pandemic than you were. So the humor changed, but it hasn't moved. It stayed there for the last 5 years, and so this is a fairly good example of that kind of read.
I like it. I like it. It could go a lot of different ways, Sam, couldn't it, to be fair?
Well, it could. Absolutely. Yes, I'm kind of. And of course, the real trip up bit is the repetition at the end.
Yeah.
That you kind of got to get right. She says, teeing herself up for getting it wrong. Okay, so I get the excitement of going first. So yeah. I get, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Good luck, Sam.
Thank you.
Go studio.
Mike's Amazing, an upstart condiment brand with a mission to make people eat food right, especially with the right condiments. To right America's most serious wrongs, we took to the most lawless establishment we could find. The classic American diner. There was only one man who could bring civilization back. The most opinionated diner of all time, Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. And, oh, you get it. Because one Jason just wasn't enough for this level of savagery.
It's fun. And I think the biggest thing with this is get the, you know, if you get the laugh, if it's fun, it's a viable take. I do think that, and it's an interesting contrast between the British and U.S. markets, that I think the British market still lends itself to reads that are a little bit more presentational and have a little bit more, are a little more forward than the American market, which has become so much less is more. With a lot of what we do. So I think by the American market standards, there are moments in there that might have felt a little big. But also I can hear it landing. You know, it's always, as a coach, I always joke that you never want to be the bad coach. And the bad coach is the coach who goes, that's not how I would have done it, so it's not exactly right. I can hear that landing on a casting director's desk in the U.S. and them going, yep, that's perfect.
Okay, I'll take that.
Just in what J. Michael said there, Sam, there are lots of clues for me in the next
read. For sure.
Because I was about to say, J. Michael, oh, I probably would have gone bigger with that than Sam did. And it's like,
well,
oh,
I heard your first read on the other one, so I can believe it.
I try and bring the butch energy wherever I can, maybe a little too much sometimes. Maybe
it doesn't always come out, the butch energy, so I'm pleased to see it back.
I did get the quirky out of it. Sam, I wonder if the quirky is the same quirky in British as it is in American. I wonder.
Well, that's true. That's a good question.
And actually, I don't really know if any of us would know the answer to that particularly. Hey ho. Right. Well, I'll give it a go. Right. Bring it right down, Mark. Bring it right down. All right. Mike's Amazing, an upstart condiment brand with a mission to make people eat food right, especially with the right condiments. To right America's most serious wrongs, we took to the most lawless establishment we could find, the classic American diner. There was only one man who could bring civilization back, the most opinionated diner of all time, Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. You get it. Because one Jason just wasn't enough for this level of savagery.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, and you, I mean, you feel yourself pulling it back, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's not trying quite as hard, but it's interesting because finding the lane on this is it's always, are you getting the laugh? And so there's so many different ways to skin the cat that as long as you're landing the jokes, as long as you're getting the humor and playing along with what's on screen, you're giving yourself a chance to book it, and then it's really in the eye of the person who is making that final casting decision as to what they had in their head.
And also being able to offer up different versions of it, because of course if one was doing this as an audition, say, you'd be able to, you know, punt in maybe three different ways of doing it, so you can pull back, but you've got to actually interpret that and do that. But yeah, so there's lots of scope with this. I love it as a script.
I wonder if I got more wry than quirky.
I think you were kind of in the middle a little bit. I think it split the difference to some degree. Yeah, there was a little bit of both in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want, I will do an A and a B take on it, which is what I would normally do. And so instinctively, if I saw this and having seen the direction on this originally, I'll give the quirky take on the A take, and then I'm going to give you a little attitude on the B take.
That would be really interesting. Yeah.
All right, so here's an A. Mike's Amazing, an upstart condiment brand with a mission to make people eat food right, especially with the right condiments. To right America's most serious wrongs, we took to the most lawless establishment we could find, the classic American diner. There was only one man who could bring civilization back, the most opinionated diner of all time, Jason Alexander. And yeah, you get it. Because one Jason just wasn't enough for this level of savagery.
It's all the quirk.
Quirk. Now let's go a little more attitude. So I think one of the things they had asked for in this as an option was maybe a little more East Coast attitude. And so something like this.
Okay.
Mike's Amazing, an upstart condiment brand with a mission to make people eat food right, especially with the right condiments. To right America's most serious wrongs, we took to the most lawless establishment we could find, the classic American diner. There was only one man who could bring civilization back, the most opinionated diner of all time, Jason Alexander. Because one Jason just wasn't enough for this level of savagery.
It's quite a difference, isn't it?
That one, actually, interestingly, the second one felt more Seinfeld-y, actually.
Yeah. Yes, interestingly. I know what you mean, yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It had that kind of, the way that he delivers things, for instance, has got a kind of knowingness to it. And that had more of a knowing attitude than the first one. I loved the first one. Which one did they buy, incidentally?
I think it was closer to the first one that made it to the air.
Okay.
I noticed with the kind of quirky delivery, there was a lot more upbeat end sentence finishing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Civilization
yeah.
back.
And upspeak I, a little.
That was yeah. a very definite yeah. change. I liked the first one. I thought the second one, it was a bit too straight for me.
The second one.
Yeah. So I would have gone with the first because I thought the jokes landed harder in the first one, doing it that way.
Actually, hearing that, so it became so clear where I overbaked it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
so that's it's fascinating because you think, oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, really lovely to hear actually.
Play How Do You Say That?
Now it's time for the wild card. J. Michael, can you pick one of the scripts for Sam or for me and give us a new direction, a new character, a new way of doing it?
I'm going to pick it for you, Mark, and I'm going to go. I'm going to go back to the second script. And having heard you do the first take of that first script, what I'm going to ask you to do is what in the U.S. we refer to as big ironic announcer guy, and it's in the U.K. it's basically Peter Dixon.
Peter Dixon. And that, absolutely.
And I think the Jason Alexander script with the Peter Dixon read is going to be right on.
Okay.
Oh, my
God.
Fair.
Oh,
for sure.
All right, then. Let me give it a try. Mike's Amazing, an upstart condiment brand with a mission to make people eat food right, especially with the right condiments. To right America's most serious wrongs, we took the most lawless establishment we could find, the classic American diner. There was only one man who could bring civilization back, the most opinionated diner of all time, Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. Oh, you get it. Because one Jason just wasn't enough for this level of savagery.
So you get your second round of applause for the day. There you go.
That is so good.
With apologies to Peter, but did it deliver for you,
Jason? It did. It felt like I had his fuzzy bald head right next to me.
What a lovely visual that is.
When we do the one voice conference in the States and the three of us are on stage, we refer to ourselves as the three bald eagles. So it's a or bald man group.
It works. I love it.
So good.
Okay, Sam, do you want to suggest one for J. Michael?
I do. I've actually got a character with a backstory.
Mm.
So I want you to be a bureaucratic supervillain. So once you were the mild-mannered director of a parking permit office. But now, after being buried in red tape for years and denied their own parking space, you have snapped. And this is that moment. So, bureaucratic supervillain. So I don't know which is better, actually. Mm. You could make either of these work. So, I think I'd like to hear you do your Mike's Amazing, actually.
Okay.
That's what I'd love.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, let me...
You know what? I think that's probably right, yeah.
We're a bureaucratic supervillain who's just about had enough of, the people who are around there. Mike's Amazing, an upstart condiment brand with a mission to make people eat food right, especially with the right condiments. To right America's most serious wrongs, we took to the most lawless establishment we could find, the classic American diner. There was only one man who could bring civilization back. The most opinionated diner of all time, Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander. And God damn it, Jason Alexander! And you get it. Because one Jason wasn't enough for this level of savagery.
Oh, I certainly got the moment where he cracked.
There was a growl in your voice. Oh, that just so good.
Yes. When you lost control and pulled it back.
Oh my God. I could see that character.
That was lovely.
That was so good.
Really
so good.
I imagined you getting redder and redder and redder and redder until maybe you went pop.
I imagine I'll be in an emergency room in the very near future. It's entirely possible.
All right, Sam, I've got one for you now. Okay, you are a woman with your eyes closed, murmuring to yourself quite happily, you've had a lovely day. But then you open one eye and it's dark outside. And then suddenly, to your huge fear, you realise you're locked in a coffin and you've been buried alive.
That is my absolute... That's my scary place. That's my room 101.
And it kind of works with the crypt, doesn't
it? Oh my God. Okay, so I've got my eyes closed and I don't know anything about it.
So at the beginning, you don't know where you are. You've had quite a good day.
So I'm. It's almost like I'm just. Yeah. Okay. I. Oh my God. Okay. Step into stories that unfold around you in a venue that defies the ordinary. No velvet curtains in it. No fourth wall. A hidden home of. Theatre, art, rebellion from underground parties and pop-ups, graffiti tours and private events. This is a canvas for the unexpected. You won't find it unless you're looking for it, but once you do, you'll never forget it. It's a crypt. Hidden beneath it. Oh, life and stories.
Oh my God, I was right there with you.
That was terrible.
Well, it was. That was beautiful.
I think the bureaucratic supervillain is the one who put her there.
You might be right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. These stories are stitched
together. The moment of panic, Sam, when you suddenly realised... I think was much earlier than I was expecting it, because it kind of began at No Velvet Curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that was earlier than I was expecting it to be, but it really worked.
That was great.
Despite being my room 101, that was really interesting to do, because you had to really sort of think, what actually would you do? It's an oft-used thing, isn't it? I've seen it on so many things, and it always makes me chilled.
No, we hear the actor in you just... came to life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes, so if you want to be locked in a coffin, you can have a try yourself.
Lovely, yes. So, J. Michael, truly, honestly, trying to find the single right question for you was
We had
very
a long
tricky,
discussion about it, to be fair.
Absolutely. So, so you work in lots of different countries and markets. What is something... that voiceover actors often don't realise changes dramatically across territories? It could be performance style or casting expectations or demos, or what's the thing they don't realise changes dramatically?
I'll give you two, and I think performance style is one. So one of the things in English-speaking markets in particular, I find that, and please excuse my jingoism here, but that the trends do seem to start in the United States, and that Canada winds up being about 3 or 4 years behind a lot of those trends, and the UK winds up being about 6 or 7 years behind. And I think We saw that with diversity. We saw that with female talent starting to get a bigger piece of the pie. We saw that with just accents. You know, the RP still dominated in the UK for quite a while, and it's only in the last, you know, 5 to 7 years or so, I think, that we're starting to see a lot more, you know, estuary accents and regional accents and things on mainstream adverts in the UK. So I think, you know, understanding that different trends are at a certain moment in their maturation in different demographics. Europe is a fascinating market. Continental Europe, I do a reasonable amount of work in Germany and Scandinavia and the Netherlands. And the interesting thing is that as thoroughly progressive as Europe is compared to much of the world, it has not embraced diversity very much in terms of voiceover. It's still, you know, pretty much the middle-aged white people who book most of the work. So it's very interesting to see different trends in different places.
There's got to be some work for us somewhere.
Yeah. So it's that's one thing, is just performance and demographic trend changes in different parts of the world. The other thing I think is pay, and just understanding that rates of pay are different in different places. You know, the U.S. obviously tends to be a little higher in most cases than most other places. Although I find a lot of very good work in the UAE. You know, which is not a market a lot of people talk about, but, you know, Dubai and the other Emirates, you can often find out, I mean, they'll hire you for something that you'd be very happy with $500 for, and there'll be another zero on top.
I've heard this about the UAE.
So there could be some very interesting work in pay-wise in different places. Europe, again, you know, Northern Europe tends to pay on standard with the US or the UK, perhaps somewhere in between. Southern Europe is going to be lower budget in general. So just understanding how rates work in different places, I think, is important as well.
Interestingly, I worked in the promo area for years and years and years, and I found that the promos in Britain were far more understated than the promo style in America. So it isn't always, you know, sort of like for like. I would absolutely agree that the advertising style is so much more throwaway in the States.
Well, I think you have things in the UK too, like, and you know, promo is an interesting word, because in the UK there's continuity, which is not a thing in the US. That doesn't exist in the US. So continuity work is often kind of similar to promo work, in the sense that it serves the same purpose as essentially commercials for programming, but it's a bit of a different animal in the UK. And conversational read and continuity work in the UK predated, you know, I think even the earliest conversational trends in the US.
Absolutely.
Very different animal. Whereas promo to this day in the US, there are teachers out there who will say it's more conversational. I still think that's incorrect. I think the best way to say it is that it's less announcery than it was once was, promo is still pretty aggressive compared to most other genres in the US. So it's a bit of its own
in the US.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a bit of its own animal.
And it's really different in the UK, actually, because for years and years we had, you know, a channel would have one or two promo voices, usually male.
Yeah, true.
But that changed dramatically, you know, 20 years ago, and they sort of, you know, cherry pick depending on the channel, depending on the style, depending on the, and so that is different. But it's fascinating, isn't it? You've got to really immerse yourself in each genre, almost, to understand how they differ from country to country.
Yeah. You know, I've had a long and very happy career doing this, and I sincerely believe that one of the reasons I have has very little to do with talent. I hear people on a daily basis who, you know, I coach people on a weekly basis who I go, my God, I wouldn't want to audition against that person, right? who are just incredible. But this is what I have lived, breathed, and eaten since I was in my 20s. And being able to immerse yourself in the trends and in the very micro movements of the market and understanding the shifts, I don't think it's much different than being a stock analyst and being able to forecast where something's going just a little bit faster than your competition. If you can stay on top of those things, that gives you an advantage in the marketplace and allows you sometimes to become one of the voices that early on they choose to represent that trend. And if you become that, then there's steady work for you.
Yeah. Listen often and widely. Yeah.
Know your craft, know the markets. Yeah. Exactly. It's a fascinating discussion. Yeah, yeah. Jay Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. All of Jay Michael's Collins details can be found in the show notes. I hope you've had a good time.
I've had a wonderful time. I don't get to be the bureaucratic madman terribly often. My wife may tell you different, but I digress. So.
And of course, the scripts are in the show notes too. So do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review.
Oh, yes, please, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you'd like to leave a review, to be fair. That's it for this week. Thanks again to J. Michael Collins. And we'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking,
How do you say that?
How do you say that?